your prayers and your support, and I want to invite you to that book of Matthew once again. Amen. There's a lot of things in this Bible, and I purposely was looking at this because I think that salvation is important. And I think that in order for more folk to come to Christ, that they need to know what salvation is. I was talking with some brothers last week, this past weekend, and they were saying how, and these are young men too, and they were saying how, you know, a lot of folks have trouble accepting Christ because they got so many questions. You know, where did the universe come from? Where did the angels come from? Where did this come from? Where did that come from? And, you know, how come all the snowflakes is different? And all these kind of weird questions. Well, I tried to explain to them that what you need to do is to start from the basics, from the beginning. And in order for these other things to come to light, you have to first come into the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen? So the first step is to receive Christ in your heart. Believe that in your heart that He is the Christ. And then confess it with your mouth. And then learn from the Bible, because Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, right? So once you receive Christ, you get adopted into the family, then you start studying the Word. Huh? 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show yourself approved under God, right? So that means come to church, find you a church. And there's a whole lot of churches around here. You just have to know what your doctrine is, what you believe in, so you ain't sitting in the wrong church. Amen? And then you need to go to Bible study. You need to go to Sunday school. Amen? See, because what I'm getting ready to share with you, you know, in the next 20 minutes or so, you know, that ain't going to be enough. It's going to be something that's going to carry you for a while. You know, and I did ask you to start bringing some pen and paper. Amen? How many of y'all got a pencil, a pen, and some paper? Did you bring that with you? You going to take some notes today? Amen, amen. I know that our sermons are going to be on our website, but I want you to hear, you know, to get involved and to take some notes. Amen? So that you can, you know, get it in your spirit. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. If you'll please stand for the reading of the word, we'll get on with it. I don't know, I'm just so talkative today. It's just something going on. I just feel like talking. Amen. 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 Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Amen. Amen. I had it in my mind when I was looking at myself in the mirror this morning. I was talking to myself, and I said, I want to get y'all out of here at a good time, amen, because of the weather and everything. So, you know, the more amens I hear, you know, the more hands I see waving, you know, the more activity I see out here in this little congregation, you know, the more I'm going to try to hurry up and get to the end, amen, amen. We're gonna cut the cake right quick. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, enter ye into the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Amen? And verse 14 says, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Thus ends the reading of God's most holy and precious word. You may take your seat in the house of the Lord. I want to just share with you a few things from these two passages of scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, from this thought. Salvation is a choice and a decision. Salvation is a choice and a decision. Listen, everybody likes options, likes choices. When you go to the store, you don't just buy the first thing you see. You look around a little bit, right? You try to shop. See, and the reason why we like these options is because we want to make informed decisions. you especially about those things which will have a lasting effect on our lives. You see, when we think about earthly decisions, many of us didn't buy the first car we saw. It's been a long time since I had a brand new car, but when I go to the lot, I used to tell them, I want to see the cars you got back behind the building. And the first one to start, that's the one I want. Huh? See, but then I started learning, but just because it started don't mean it's going to run. So you have to start looking at them. If you're going to buy a secondhand car, you got to check them all out, right? Huh? Make sure when you turn the wheel that it don't make a whole lot of noise, but you tell you that the power steering is working right. Huh? Amen? So we likewise, we didn't buy the first house that we saw. We went in and we checked to see if the plumbing was good and the electrical wire was right and everything was right. We just didn't buy the first house that we went into. See, and I don't know about some of the brothers that's here today, but normally I don't buy the first suit that I see. And sometimes I'll see a suit and that'll be it for the day. But I try to shop a little bit. Because I'm at a size now, my size fluctuates, so I got to get the right suit. I got some critics in the house. That's okay, I'm getting better though. Y'all watch out, I'm getting better. See, but I have to shop and make sure I get the right suit, amen? And I know that y'all probably do the same thing. I like to look around a little bit now. And I've been following Sister Conley running the store so long, I know how to look for a deal when I can find one, amen? Amen, amen, amen. So I like to do that. But I don't buy the first shirt or the first shoes. I usually have an idea of what I want when I go in the store. Amen. So most of the time, I don't look at the same thing twice, like some folks do. Two or three times. But I make up my mind. I make a decision out of all of the choices that I have. Amen. But you can learn things from your wife or from your significant other when you go to store. Just watch how they shop. Amen. Look at the price tags. Huh? I learned. I still ain't figured out how to come home with three pairs of shoes, though. I'm working on that. Amen. But the point is this. Here's my point. Let us get started with this. That these examples that I gave you is just to let you know that Jesus is doing the same thing that I talked about in my examples right here in this text. Huh? He is making it plain as to the choices that are out there. Huh? He's making it plain of the choice that we have, and he gives some idea as to what to expect when a decision is made. Huh? When you make up your mind, you expect that whatever you get is going to perform the way that they said it's going to perform. Huh? My wife used to get on me because I would look at the menu and I said, baby, when they bring my hamburger, I want it to look just like this. Huh? I want it to look just like this. Huh? But then I learned that they sprayed something on it to make it look good. And then they took a picture of it. Huh? Because what they brought me didn't look nothing like the picture. Huh? Oh, man. You see, but when you look at this, there's some expectations that once you make a decision, what you're going to expect from that decision. So if you really take a look at what Jesus is saying here in these two verses right here, it's no different than what's been shared throughout all of the scriptures. Listen, let me give you an example. In the book of Deuteronomy, now the pencil is going to start working. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19, God said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life. Now we're talking about something, okay? Choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Huh? Now look, Joshua said he made a decision for himself and he tried to get the children of Israel to do the same thing. You see, when we get saved, but suddenly we find it so hard to get the rest of our family to follow suit. We got this generation X, I don't know which one it is, YX or whatever it is, I done lost track. But they're just so smart. Does somebody say fickle? They're just so, they have so much access. You tell them one thing, they hit the Facebook, they hit the internet, they got a million people trying to tell them something different, which is just the opposite of what you're saying. All right? So now you got a battle in the house. Huh? Oh, I'm just looking for some relief. Well, what are you looking at? Huh? I'm looking for some spiritual light. What are you looking at? Right? Think about that. But Joshua, when he made the decision, look in Joshua chapter 24. Maybe this will explain what I'm trying to say. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, this is what he said. He said, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Huh? Come on with that. Now, listen to what else he said. Woo! Brother, help me with that. Listen to what else he said. That was verse 14. Verse 15 says, "And if ye seem evil unto you, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day," right? "Whom ye will serve." Yeah, some of y'all know this scripture already, huh? "Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." In other words, I don't know what y'all are going to do. He said, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the TV. We're going to serve the internet. We're going to serve Facebook." No, no, no. He didn't say that. He said, "I don't know about y'all, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Huh? Let me have that back, brother. This thing is too loud for me. Thank you so much. I tell you this.
Yeah. There you go.
Turn that one down and turn it off. There you go. Now this is better. Thank you so much. Am I right, honey? I hear you. But listen, some people say, and they believe, that there are many roads that lead to heaven. Y'all believe it is a heaven, right? Huh? You go to Revelation, it'll tell you about heaven. Huh? See, but the Bible tells us that there's one way to heaven. And his name is Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, huh, can get to heaven but by me." So when it comes to eternal life, and the reason why I want you to write this down, because you're going to have to share it with somebody. See, not that I'm turning y'all into preachers, but I'm giving y'all a mission. Huh? Y'all going to evangelize. Huh? And so the more you know about what you're talking about, the better you can evangelize. Am I right? Huh? So if somebody call you out, you got it. Huh? Even if you got a cheat, pull out your note. You got it. Huh? We're trying to win souls to Christ. Am I right? So when it comes to eternal life, my brothers and my sisters, huh? Salvation is a choice and a decision.
Amen.
Huh? It's a choice and a decision. It's a decision to do what? Do the right thing.
Yeah.
Huh? Or do what the world does and expect the consequences. How many people you know that live in sin knowing that, you know, the consequences ain't going to be good? You know, like folks that's in prison, they keep going back and going back and going back. Huh? See? And they get talked about when they go back, but then they just ain't no different than the ones that's locked up because they done came back and back and back. Huh? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, there's your decision right there. Which one you want? Life or death? Huh? So when we look at this, now Jesus is connecting that decision-making process to the afterlife. Huh? Some people believe that once you die, that's it. It's over. Or some people believe that if you find yourself in hell, you will burn up instantly and it'll all be over. Just like that. You fry, you cook, you done. Stick a fork in it. Huh? But again, that's what the world thinks. Huh? And in some cases, that's what the world believes. But I would try to encourage each and every one of us here on today to believe what Jesus tells us about the afterlife and how to make a decision that will give us eternal life. Huh? So we need to like listen and look at what this word is trying to tell us. Excuse me. Now, in this text, Jesus talks about a straight gate and a wide gate.
Yes.
Am I right? Yes. Look at what the text tells us. First, excuse me. He says there are two gates. One gate is called straight, and the other is wide. Huh? It is interesting for us to note here that the text says that many stand at the wide gate and few at the straight gate. Huh? Am I right? It's crowded at the wide gate. It ain't too many of us at the straight gate. Huh? But when you think about what the Bible says about salvation, you find in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that it says there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, Minister Burnett said he is without sin. That's what he said this morning. When we were talking about sin, he said, well, I ain't done nothing. Huh? That's sin right there. He was just illustrating that we quit to sin. Ain't lying to sin. Hey, oftentimes the first thing out of our mouth is, so you're right. So when you think about making that decision, that sounds like all of mankind is standing at that wide gate, huh? Before the decision is even made, huh? We already lined up, huh? So that decision is found in John chapter 3 and verse 16. You know, at the end of that verse where it says that whosoever, and God don't care who it is, because God desires that none should be lost, that all should come, huh? He said, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So although Jesus died for the world, everybody is not going to accept him. Huh? People talk about it right now. Oh, he was just a man. He ain't nobody. Huh? He was a prophet. Thank you so much. You know, so he was just a man. See, but everybody have a decision to make about them two gates, my brothers and my sisters. And so salvation is a choice and a decision. Huh? Are we there yet? So you see, secondly, there are two ways. The text tells us here, you know, that there's a broad way and a narrow way regarding these gates. Huh? You see, the broad and easy way have a reference to living without boundaries or no rules and regulations to follow. You just do your thing. Huh? We go out and buy records. Old folk, we used to go out and get them records. You know, I the brother, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. Huh? Was they promoting sin? I don't know. They just said, hey, you know, take the rules off. You know what I mean? Take the restraint off. Do what you want to do. Huh? It's all right. But I'm here to let you know today, see, that you know, it was called like a no-hold-barred way of living. But many folk live their lives like this because they don't like rules. They don't like structures. Some folk walk around and don't tell me what to do. I hate to hear that in my own house. I hate to hear that in my house. You know, if you're old enough to smell yourself, then maybe you need to have your own place. You see, too many grown folks in the same house is a bad mix. Too many folks that think they're grown in the same house is a bad mix. I hate to hear folks tell me what they're going to do in my house. Huh? You know, they say, you know, everybody know that a man ain't supposed to cry. That's right, honey. I'm, huh? No. Huh? But the temptation say I got to cry because crying eases the pain. But also when you see a Negro start crying, you better back up, leave him alone. Huh? That's it. It's been a long time since I cried, but if you see water falling out my face, take a trip before you get sent on one. And I know that's hard. You know, these are our kids, we love them. You know, but sometimes you got to make the hard call. Huh? A ball is a ball and a strike is a strike. Ain't no two ways about it, am I right? All right? You want to run things? Well, I'm going to help you get your own place so you can run things. As long as you're in my house, help me somebody. All right? You see, but when you look at this, that there's folk that want to live life to the fullest, if they want to live life to the fullest, the problem is that when you live life like this, you live without purpose, when you don't want to be told what to do, when you don't have no structure, you don't have no guideline. You know? So that is the wide way, huh? When you don't have no purpose, huh? When you live without purpose. But I'm here to tell you that we all here are here for a purpose. You see, that was the easy way. You see, the narrow way is the hard way. That's the challenging way, huh? And one commentator said, the narrow way requires commitment, that you know you're a member of a church, and when church starts at a certain time, that you're there, huh? To encourage other folk just like you, and to be encouraged by other folk just like you, huh? To not throw in the towel, not to give up the fight. The hard way, the narrow way, requires determination, huh? I don't care about you, but I'm gonna be sold out for the Lord, huh? I'm determined to stay in the fight no matter what. It requires discipline, study to show yourself approved unto God, show up for Sunday school and Bible study and service, huh? Discipline also requires that you not be like everybody else when you leave here at 1 o'clock or whatever time we get out, huh? So, I mean, to be in the world but not of the world, the record is that you ought to come out from among them, huh? Help me somebody. Also, the hard way, the narrow way, requires control and self-denial. You see, my family is going to eat before I do. I'm going to pray for you before I pray for myself. You know, things that I like to do, I ain't doing no more because I know what the result is. It ain't no good. Huh? I'm going to make sure that I got some self-control. I mean, I'm not perfect now. Let's get this straight. You know, y'all don't have the perfect pastor. You know, sometimes I slip up too. Huh? But that's all right, see, because I understand what repentance is all about, though. I understand that I don't have to sit in a little box and whisper in somebody's ear all the stuff that I did, and then they tell me I got to go and say the same thing 25 or 30 times, and everything will be all right. See, I have a direct link. I got a high priest. I can talk to Jesus, he'll intercede for me. Just like he did when he was dying on the cross. Father, forgive them for you. They know. Conley don't know what he's doing. Huh? Forgive him, Lord. Huh? Help me, somebody. Is anybody getting this? You see, listen, the narrow path, huh, requires that you stay alert. Huh? Stay on task and stay on point. Stay focused. Pay attention. Huh? Keep your head up. I mean, if you want to be a Confucian, you know, instead of that Chinese stuff, you know, Confucius said a wise man always keep his head down. Huh? Well, you know, only time I keep my head down is when I go to the store, Sister Conley, I find money on the ground. Huh? But the Bible says, look to the hill from what come in your help. Huh? You can't look up to the hill with your head on the ground. Hold your head up. You serve a strong and mighty God. You serve a rich God. You serve a God that knows your every need. Huh? Hold your head up. You got something going on. Huh? Most folks that's in the world got their head down. There's a whole lot of things going on. You got to sort it out. Huh? What is it? Huh? So you got to stay focused. When you're driving, don't you stay focused? Don't you stay alert? Don't you keep your head up? You got your hand on the wheel. My God is my co-pilot. Well, you know, your co-pilot trying to let you know you better pay attention to what you're doing. Huh? Huh? So you got to do these things. You got to stay on task. You got to stay alert. You got to stay on point. You got to stay focused. Because whether you realize it or not, all of us in here, we got our own families and we're responsible for a whole lot of stuff.
That's right.
Yeah? I heard the man shout out and say, people are depending on me. Huh? I'm the one got to get up and go to work. I'm the one got to bring home the bacon. I'm the one to make sure the lights stay on and there's food in the box. Huh? So that means that you got a lot of responsibility. If you receive that responsibility and you accept that responsibility, you got to stay alert. You got to stay focused. You got to stay on task. You got to be on point. You may not want to get up and go to work tomorrow morning, but you're going to get up and do it. Huh? You don't have to. You can choose to do something else. Huh? Salvation is a choice. Salvation is also a decision. The third thing I want to talk to you about this morning is that there are two ends. Huh? Since there are two gates, there must be two different destinations that they lead to. Is anybody with me here this morning? Now listen, I'm not trying to step on nobody or step into anything, but I'm here to try to strengthen you so when you walk out this door today, you're going to be a little bit taller. Amen. Your shoulders are going to be back a little bit further. You're going to have that determined look in your eye. You're going to have that prayer on your lips. Huh? You're going to have Jesus in your heart. You're going to recognize these things. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Come on with it, devil. There's got to be two ends. The text says that the broad way leads to what? Destruction, which can be equated with death. Huh? Ain't nothing good in death. Ain't nothing good in destruction. Huh? Let me help you. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 tells us, and as it is appointed unto men once to what? Die, but after this is the judgment. Right? So we all going to die one day. Matter of fact, somebody said the same day we were born, the same day we started dying. Huh? The same day. We're going around in a big old circle, Mother Evans. Huh? Pretty soon we have to go to the store and get them things. Huh? We dying. We getting old. You know, in other words, we came in the world as babies, and sooner or later we started acting like babies again, right? Y'all don't understand that. Huh?
Thank you, sir.
Anybody got any questions? You can see Sister Kim after church. She'll break that down for you. Well, we all going to die one day. But the Bible not only talks about death, brothers and sisters, but it also talks about a second death, and that is found in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Listen to what it says. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and what? All liars, here that come again, huh? Shall have their part in the lake which is burning with fire and brimstone, huh? Which is what? The second death. So then the broad gate leads to death and destruction, huh? And it's interesting here to put note down or to take note that the text says that many will be there. You know, one thing, you know, Sister Connelly used to say, you know, don't speak that into your life. Huh? You know, we always say, folks used to say, well, you know, I want to go to hell because that's where the party going to be at. That's where it's going to be going at. You know, hey, you know, all James Brown, everybody going to be down there. And, you know, they're just going to be rocking and going on. That's where I want to be. See, you speak them things in your life, and I bet you a nickel to a nail, that's where you're going to end up. And ain't going to be no party going on. If it is any dancing, it's because their feet is hot. You see, so we have to be careful what we say about what we want, where we want to be at, everything. And I believe that. If you speak that into your life, huh? If you say you ain't about nothing, I guarantee you, you're going to start acting like you ain't about nothing. Keep it up. Huh? So listen. So everybody going to be there. There are liars, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, the whole wall of wax. But if you listen, church, that the narrow gate, you know, the hard way, huh? The narrow gate leads to life, and not just life, but everlasting life. Huh? See, we are in a land of the dying, on our way to the land of the living. And we're going to live forevermore. Huh? That fellow named Jesus who died on the cross and was laid in the tomb, you know, and rose again on the third day, he's alive now. And what? Forevermore.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, somebody. And somebody say, well, I don't want to live if life won't be like this. But I'll tell you what, life is not going to be like this. Huh? When you go to the land of eternal living, you ain't got to worry about all the aches and pains and, you know, all of these diseases and all of these issues that you got to deal with every day. You know, jobs, family members, you know, even giving yourself problems. And we're going to go to the land of what they call the no mores. I know it's the no mores, but I said no more. Nothing. It's always going to be howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. Let me explain this to you a little bit further. Look in John chapter 10 and verse 10. And when you see John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus there is talking. And he said, but I have come that you might have what? Have life. Huh? Huh? He said that I have come that you might have life, and of that more abundantly. Jesus said you can live a good life down there. That don't mean, you know, having money in all your pockets. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Huh? It don't mean having big cars. Ain't nothing wrong with that as long as you get them the right way. Huh? But he said abundant life means a life in Christ. Huh? When you got Jesus, you have more than you ever had. Am I right?
Amen.
When you got Jesus, and as long as you got Jesus, don't set it down somewhere, you know, and wait till you get in trouble, then you go pick him back up. Huh? Don't put him up on the wall like the fire extinguisher. When you get in trouble and you on fire for whatever reason, your problems is in your faith, you break the thing so you can have Jesus take care of your problem. You got to have him with you all the time. Just like the word, don't leave home without it. Huh? Always be quick and ready to give an answer for your salvation. Now, when we, as believers in Christ, and we all believe, right? Am I talking to everybody as a believer, right? There might be a couple in here who may not have really received Christ yet, but if you keep coming, sooner or later, that word is going to get to you. Huh? So what I'm trying to say is that we are promised not just plain old life, but abundant life, and it will only be received through Jesus the Christ. Help me, somebody. Now, when you look at John chapter 14 and verse number 6, that's a very familiar chapter right there. Huh? Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me, because in my Father's house are many mansions. Right? But when you jump down to verse number 6, there he said, I am the way. Huh? The truth. And the life. No man or woman, I don't care who you is, huh? You can't buy your way in. You can't talk your way in. You can't sneak in the back, huh? You can't come down from the roof. You can't dig no tunnel and get in. He said, no man, huh? Nobody, I don't care who you is, huh? Nobody cometh to the Father except by me. That's right. That's right, mother. That's right. That's right. So not only is salvation a choice, it's a decision. You got to make up your mind. When you go to the store, you know, when you go to Sam's Club, you got these people in the aisles letting you taste stuff and, you know, giving you choices. You know, you can have it with fat or without fat. You can do this and do that. Huh? They're giving you choices. They want you to make up your mind and make a decision. Huh? Buy one, get one free. Huh? But salvation is a choice. And not only is it a choice. Now, Minister Burnett, I'm sure you're on board with me now. It's also a decision. Huh? Well, one more thing. There's two decisions for you to make. Is anybody getting anything? There's two decisions for you to make. Listen, I'm almost done. There's two decisions. Y'all can work overtime today, okay? Some little OT. Holy OT. There's two decisions. There's no effort decision versus seeking to find. Huh? And now what the word says, seek ye shall find. Huh? Don't sit there with your eyes closed, waiting for it to come to you. You got to get up and go look for it. Where you going to look at? Start with the word. Huh? You see, the wide gate, if you recall, at the beginning of this message, requires no decision at all to get in there. Huh? All you got to do is just wait. Just like, you know, when you're riding that little moving thing, you know, at the airport. Just get on there and it'll take you right on in. Huh? You don't have to make no decision. Just get on that thing, right? A person stands before this wide gate automatically just by being in the world. Didn't I say be in the world but not of the world? I would notice that, like, you know, folks see one person wearing a hat crooked, so they start wearing it because they think it's cool. Everybody got their hat turned down to a half a right, a quarter right, huh? Somebody see somebody, you know, with a pin in their cheek, they go get one because they think it's cool. Huh? You see, the world will mess you up. I just want you to know that. The world will mess you up. You ain't got no job and no other source of income, but then you see somebody wearing some Jordans that cost like $150, and next thing you know, you got to have some Jordans, so what you going to do? You're going to go mess somebody up so you can get the money to go buy you some Jordans, right? You understand? I'm telling you that the world will mess you up. That's what I'm trying to tell you. See, but Christ does not say that you have to go in the wide gate. Look at this thing. He said, he's not saying you got to go in the wide gate. Enter the gate requires no energy at all. You don't have to search for nothing. Huh? No commitment. A person is there facing the gate already. Huh? All that you have to do is to begin on your journey in this life and follow its broad in every course. You ain't got to do nothing else. Just follow the word. The word will tell you where to go. Huh? Now the narrow gate. The narrow gate requires a decision to enter. Huh? Remember, salvation is a choice, it is also a decision. The narrow gate requires that you make up your mind to enter. It requires a personal decision. You see, having a relationship with Jesus is a personal decision. It also requires a firm decision. You got to stand on the solid rock. It also requires a commitment of energy and effort to search out the entrance. You see, the wide entrance is not hard to find because of its size. The word tells me that hell is expanding itself because it's so much sin in the world. But you got to seek out that narrow way. You got to put some energy and effort into finding that narrow path. And once the narrow gate have been found, an immediate and a definite decision is required. Well, just like being in a courtroom. And the evidence have been laid out before you. And you are on the jury. And the judge say, all right, y'all, I dismiss to go back and ponder the evidence. You in the world, once the evidence have been laid before you, then it's up to you, my brothers and sisters, to weigh the evidence. As Joshua said earlier in the text, that now a decision is required, that you have to choose. Mm-hmm. Today, this day, don't put it off no longer who you're going to serve. And if you've already made Jesus your choice, then you got to be determined that ain't nobody going to knock you off of your platform. For God I live, and for God I die. Thank God, all right. I think I'm ready to wrap it up now. Well, you got to make your decision when you see that narrow gate. Well, doing nothing, some folk think, is the best decision. I just wait and see what happens. But I want you to know, my friend, in this case, doing nothing would be the worst decision. Well, you got to stand up. You got to make a stand. You got to get involved in your salvation. Well, and the start is to make a choice. Ain't God all right? The start is to make up your mind. Yes, it is. Well, my friend, I think I found somewhere to get off here. But I want to let you know, oh Lord, that to do nothing only lead to everlasting destruction. Yes, my friend, but when you make a decision for Christ, yes, my Lord,